So cortisol, if cortisol's off at all, the first place it will impact hormonally from a body standpoint is the abdomen, and we will put on a bit of weight in the abdomen. It's called cortisol belly. So there's a much more balanced approach. You don't have to cut out fruit or starches. We eat in a balanced way.
I had a big epiphany, and I know you might think this is kind of crazy, but I don't think it's food that's causing my gas and the bloating and stuff. I'm Lisa Davis. I'm very excited because it is session two with the fantastic Amber Romaniec. I can speak. Amber, if you don't know, has been helping me on my wellness journey. And I just got a bunch of blood work done, and I found a place that's going to get my antibodies tested for my thyroid without having to poke my fingers. I'm super excited. I get my cortisol test, and I'm excited for session two. Amber, so excited. Yes. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me back. I'm super excited as well for session two. And so how I like to start sessions once we do that initial hour is I like to start with a celebration. So something you're learning, something you've taken action on, but just something you want to celebrate from then to now. So what do you want to celebrate as we dive in?
So I've taken action on taking that probiotic every night. It's made a big difference.
Tell me what, how?
I don't know. I have an epiphany too, which I'll tell you.
Okay.
Also, the brushing is good. I will admit I skipped a few days. It's like, you know, you get a routine and then you forget.
Human. Yeah.
So I don't have to do that at night. I think that's part of the problem is I'm so tired before I go to bed. And I'm
when do you shower or bath?
I shower at night. That's the problem.
What's your morning routine like?
I have time in the morning. That's okay.
You don't have to shower before. I would just, if it's easier for you, I would wake up, do your morning, and then do dry brushing before you get out or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, good. I had a big epiphany, and I know you might think this is kind of crazy, but I don't think it's food that's causing my gas and the bloating and stuff, because ever since, so I've been taking that probiotic.
Yeah.
And I had the big episode with my urethra, which I haven't had in almost 2 years. As soon as I did the sacred rage screaming, and I did more meditative things, and I did some drawings and painting, and everything's calmed down. And I realized that whenever I'm stressed, it's my guts first and then my urethra.
Yeah.
Now I'm always gassy, but I'm not always bloated and I'm not always uncomfortable.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, my poops are normal again. Sit here. I feel great. I think it's stress that is flaring up everything and causing this constipation, plus my water retention. But you know more about it. But I'm just saying, I'm back to doing what I've been eating. I'm eating the amaranth. I'm making my air fryer sometimes. Sometimes I'm not.
Yeah.
There's no difference.
Yeah.
What changes is when I eat things I know I'm sensitive to, and I wake up, I had a little pasta last night. Today I have a little headache.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. But what
stress plays a huge role. So often for most people, when they're stressed, the first thing that will be impacted or become reactionary is the gut. And that's because when you go into that stress response, your circulation that's needed in your core to help you break your food down goes into your limbs to help you run away from the bear that isn't there.
Right.
So your digestive system is really shut down. And so we hold a lot of negative emotion in the gut. A lot of people don't realize this is where we hang on to anger, frustration, especially in the liver, grief, rage, sadness. And so when we hold it there and or we don't know how to move it out of the body, or I'm speaking to maybe people that have never thought about how emotion can get stuck in different parts of the body and then we have to move it out.
Yeah.
This can amplify digestive issues, and you can try elimination diets and try all these different things, but it's ultimately comes down to these emotions stuck in the body. And so when you did the sacred rage and then your urethra settled and your digestion settled, well, there's the proof. And so what's happening is when we have stuck emotion in the body and the digestive system, we'll just use this as the focus.
Sure.
What happens is we're constantly in a stress response, that cortisol spiking. So it'll be interesting to see the cortisol.
Yeah, exactly.
But what's happening is it really amplifies the body, the digestive system's ability to get bloated, because stress response, right? And then the body's in that shutdown state, the circulation's not in the core. And then as well, if you're trying to eat and your digestive system is shut down because you're in a fight or flight, Right. You're not going to break down the food as efficiently. It's going to go into the small intestine in larger particles. That right. agitates the intestinal lining, and that flares up the intestine, and hence the bloating and the discomfort and the pain. But right. when we use somatic practices or self-care practices like Sacred Rage, or like the one that you do where you kind of, the shaking yeah. or the bending yeah. over and the, right? Like you move the negative emotion out of the body, which we need to move it out of the body. It's energy. It has to go. Right. So, and then we feel a huge relief because we're moving it out, and that helps to re-regulate the nervous system.
Right.
And so then you're going from that stress response to rest and digest.
Right.
And then here you are eating the allulose and the amaranth and those things, and they're not causing an issue. So right.
also saw my acupuncturist who has helped me with my digestion and my urethra before. So that was like the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
So like, I did the three, the sacred rage, the shaking. Getting, just realizing it, right? And then seeing her, it kind of was a nice, so I feel good.
It's great. The puffiness and the bloat is down. So some of that lower abdominal could still be a little bit to do with that candida that we're going to work on. So taking the probiotic at night, that's great. The gas is still from the candida. So we will work on that. We'll talk, I'll go into all the details of that.
Okay.
But because you shouldn't have gas. So we'll clear that out. But as far as the weight, what we have to think of as women is in that area where you have that little bit of abdominal retention or fat or whatever it is, you've got like your bladder there, your colon there, right? The womb is there. Like there's so much there.
Right.
And so it's quite natural for women to carry a little bit in that lower because it's a protective.
I would think right? so.
Yeah. And then what I always like to do with any kind of retention or weight is to get into a bit of a reflection, and listeners could journal on this. This would be a great question to ask and like sit with.
Right.
But okay, if I feel like there's a part of my body that's retaining water or hanging on to weight, like weight is a protective mechanism. The body will hang on when she doesn't feel safe. And it's not necessarily that there's a threat in your house. It's that there's negative self-talk where, you know, a lot of women are in self-sabotage and binge eating, emotional eating. They're being negative toward their body. They're fighting with their body in the scale. They're eating a lot of really inflammatory foods, and stress levels are high, and they're people pleasing and overbooked and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And the more stress the body, well, the body, she goes, well, my last priority is weight loss and, you know, getting pregnant because I'm in survival mode. So I got to try and sort all this other stuff out. So why I love going on this exploration is if my body doesn't feel safe, she's going to hang on. We'll have different areas where the body will hang on a little bit more. Depending on what's going on in the body. So another reason I'm curious to see your cortisol, sometimes we can kind of have that bit of lower abdominal puff or retention because cortisol. So cortisol, if cortisol is off at all, the first place it will impact hormonally from a like a body standpoint is the abdomen, and we will put on a bit of weight in the abdomen. It's called cortisol belly, and that's part of the inflammatory retention response. So it'll be interesting to see that. But the key, this is why I love connecting regularly, because we can check in and go, has anything improved? Is anything worse? Like, what have you noticed since the first few recommendations? And the fact that it's already better is awesome. And this awareness you have around the emotions is huge. So to me, it's like, so the safety question, why is my body hanging on? And there can be many different reasons. It could be like childhood trauma, like emotional eating, self-sabotage, stress, hormone imbalances, gut imbalance. Like there's so many things and like I can get more specific at some point if you want me to. But then it's also the emotion that we're hanging on to and storing in these different parts of the body. And so this is where the practices we've been talking about are really helpful. The lymphatic drainage, it's great, you know, that you've started to get into some dry brushing. So if you do it in the morning, that will be awesome. But that'll just keep like really have things be moving along and elimination, and your bowel movements are daily. They're feeling good. Awesome.
Now, how do you know I have candida?
So some of the most common signs that we know we have candida, and of course, make sure you check in with someone before you go on a protocol, because there's a lot of really extreme protocols that I don't like that people go on, and they can really cause a lot of havoc. So be gentle. But the first thing is if you have gas. If you have gas and you're gassy regularly, even if you're eating well, that's a sign of candida, because like I said last time, it's carbon dioxide, we have gas. The second is if you've ever had to take antibiotics, and the more antibiotics you've had to take, it kills all the good and bad bacteria, and then the bad take over. And I actually, the other day I was watching something, and the man who was doing the study was saying that after one round of antibiotics, we increase our chances for anxiety and depression 20%. Two back-to-back rounds is 40%. Because the gut, if we don't have a good balance of gut bacteria, this unhealthy bacteria really, it crosses the blood-brain barrier, has a negative impact on the brain. And then we have to understand that when we have a lot of unhealthy bacteria, we have more inflammation, and that suppresses dopamine and serotonin, those mood-boosting neurotransmitters.
Oh.
Right? So the more messed up our gut flora, the more it can negatively impact our mood.
Right.
So anxiety, depression can be signs of candida, albeit they probably won't tell you that at the doctor's office, because I've even gone and I'm like, oh my gosh, I think I finally figured out why I have gut flora issues. And they're like, oh, candida doesn't exist. So that just goes to show you how some of them
Well, my mom had severe candida. So it's sort of a word that I don't like, because so I don't want to be like her, because she ended up weighing 85 pounds, being covered head to toe with rashes and allergic to everything.
No.
And I know it's not logical, but when you say like candida, that, I cringe. And that's why if you see me, like, I'm like, oh, shit.
Fair enough. No, but yeah, so everyone has a different level of... Look.
Come here. You're not going out. Sorry, my dog's trying to go out. Okay. I'll let it. Go ahead. So say that again, everybody.
Yeah, everyone has a different case. So some people have very mild candida.
Mm-hmm.
Some have moderate and some have severe, but if it's to the point where there's like fast weight, like that's extreme. That's not, it's like, usually it's, I'd say 50 to 60% have a more mild to moderate case. Okay. And then there's that like 30 to 40 that go from more moderate to a more severe case. But yeah, okay. So gas, lower abdominal bloating, water retention, weight gain, brain fog, low energy, afternoon energy lulls, and that pairs in with the cortisol, anxiety, mm-hmm. depression, increased cravings for sugar and refined carbohydrates, increased appetite levels. Some people get more constipated with candida, and some their stools get more loose. But I find as we get on the good probiotic, that's also another sign we have candida, is when we're constipated, we get on a good probiotic and then the bowels start moving better. Because you're repopulating that good bacteria, which helps with our transit time and helps make it easier for us to have those good bowel movements, right?
You know, with candida, I always thought you're supposed to cut out all sugar, like even fruits, which I like my apple a day.
No thanks. Yeah, we're not cutting out fruit. So there's all kinds of protocols. And this is where I say, ideally, instead of just going online and going, how do I get rid of candida? You're going to see all these extreme protocols. Some of them even say cut out sweet potatoes and starchy vegetables. And it's too extreme. We need carbohydrates. Well, I would never recommend it anyway.
I mean, I would if you told me to, but I would
not. No, I will not tell anyone to do that. And here's the story.
Okay.
I had horrible candida when I was trying to heal everything. The worst case that the place I was working at had ever seen. Didn't know I was binge eating. And so they're like, oh, go on this candida protocol. So they gave me these intense antifungals to take for 4 months. And then they told me that all I could eat was green vegetables, animal protein, and mold-free nuts. And they're like, you have to do this for 6 months. And so I was desperate to have my digestion feel better, but I didn't know that restrictive protocols would just trigger more binge eating. And it just made all of that worse.
Right.
And the other problem with having candida and doing a really restrictive food protocol is that if you go really intensively, you end up with really bad die-off symptoms and you significantly increase the toxicity in the body. Uh-huh. And I was turning yellow, like I was hacking up all this stuff. It was horrible. I felt horrible. I've never felt that horrible in my life. But that was way too extreme.
Right.
And so I was the guinea pig, because little did I know the universe is like, you're going to be doing this and we need you to not do that with your clients, right? So there's a much more balanced approach. You don't have to cut out fruit or starches. It's We eat in a balanced way, but what we don't want to overdo it with is alcohol, because it's rich in sugar.
I don't and drink
yeast.
At all, luckily.
Yeah, that's good. And then refined sugar. So sugar, corn syrup, brown sugar, stuff like that. Fruit's fine, but not ideally sugar. Not refined sugar. And so that's where with women who have sugar addiction or emotional eating, we don't do candida protocols right away. We must heal the relationship with food first.
Okay.
Because if you try to do any kind of detox protocol or anything like this, what ends up happening is at some point you get triggered and then you do binge or emotionally eat and then you fall the other way and then you feel guilty because you messed it up. And then your digestion gets worse because you're trying to kill and you're feeding the bacteria at the same time. So those are some of the most common symptoms. Headaches can be a symptom. Skin breakouts, eczema, acne. And so that's kind of what I do, is we look at the assessment, we look at your history, and being that your mom had a bad case, what's interesting about candida is via conception, you will inherit some of that from your mom or your dad or both, whomever carried it. And then that will just set the stage for you to have a higher likelihood of a candida overgrowth happening more easily.
I came across
Earth Body Care, based on the history and the gas and the antibiotics and your bowel health and just some of the other things we've talked about, I would say there's probably a mild to like slightly moderate case going on. You can do candida tests if you want to. I usually don't with my clients because most of them have the issue and like a lot of the symptomatology comes up. But if anyone wants to get a candida test done, we can do it to see how severe it is. But I find the protocol that I do, which is very gentle, which we'll talk more about.
My favorite has been coming up. Spice, lavender, lime,
it's very much going to work regardless of the severity of your candida. But just the only difference is if you have a more severe case, you usually have to go a little slower and it just takes a bit longer. But the same outcome happens. And so ideally, symptoms, you gain relief of the symptoms and your digestion significantly improves.
Well, my mom had, I think hers was caused by antibiotics. I don't have the heavy antibiotic use,
which is good.
I don't remember the last time, but my mom did for some reason. Yes.
So the probiotic is so important, so keep doing that. So as far as digestion, it's good that things are improving. So what you can do, and what I encourage people to do, is at least once or twice a week to take a mental note and just check in and go, how's my digestion feeling? Am I having any bloating, pain, discomfort, cramping? Am I having gas? Did I eat anything that gave me a flare-up of my symptoms? And then I always say, like, how are your bowel movements? Are you having daily bowel movements? If you are they formed and in good form, or are they loose, or are you constipated? Like, what's going on? Because you want to have that formed, steady 1 to 3 a day, So those are things that you can be checking in on and make any mental note if something comes in where you're seeing some kind of a reaction. I want to go back to the weight for a moment, because we had talked about weight being a protective mechanism. And I want to ask you, because I know you want to lose about 15 pounds. So I'm curious to hear from you, like, any thought as to why your body would be hanging on, why she wouldn't feel safe, why she'd want to retain this water or hang on to any level of weight?
Not really. I mean, when I think of hanging on, I think of it more as women who've been abused and are using it as a protective mechanism. And I haven't experienced that, thank goodness. My heart goes out, obviously, to women who have.
Yeah.
I mean, my family's kind of screwy, not my daughter and my husband. And I have, like, hopes of everyone reuniting. And it's not going to happen.
Right.
And my, you know, my mom's not going to come back from the dead and reunite us. So there's things that I wish were different that will never change. But I don't think that, I don't know, that feels more like an emotional, but that's what you're talking about. But it's not a protective thing.
Yeah.
I think it's more of hanging on to stuff that I can't fix. You know, I was always
Fair enough. Yeah. So then part of it, because you're right, this is a form of protection as well. When we hang on to the past, we hang on to things that, you know, we can't change or that we don't have control over. And so part of it is then around, well, is there any forgiveness to do to anybody or with yourself? And, or is there any way that you can bring in some kind of a practice to help you practice like letting go and having acceptance?
And it's beyond my control. It doesn't involve me. It involves
exactly.
My family, right?
Yeah.
So someone who hasn't talked to somebody and they really want them to talk to them. And I'm just like, we all just figure it out. If they're like, no, it's not your decision who's going to talk to who. And
So then it's like, okay, if there's nothing you can do and it's completely out of your hands, then how do you make peace with it and really detach from it? Because you're right, the body will hang on. And that's part of the representation of hanging on to the past or hanging on to what is never going to be. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So for a lot of people don't forgive themselves or don't forgive others and hold grudges, that can morph into weight and or constipation.
Oh, wow.
Hanging on to the past, because your colon is all about letting go of the past. Right. So both of these, the weight and that with the constipation, can come up. So maybe some reflection and some journaling, if there's anything for you to let go of, because your weight loss blocks are a guide to show you where you're out of alignment emotionally, physically, energetically, whatever it is. And if there's anything you feel you're emotionally hanging on to, your body wants to teach you and go, hey, like this is something I want you to process through and let it go so that I can easily let it go. Right. So when we start to shift our perception, I know you're not really doing this, but for a lot of women, they get so hard on their bodies. There's so much hatred and self-rejection and criticism, right? It's harsh.
Not too much.
I have tried so many skin and hair care products. I can't even tell you. It's insane. I mean, at one point, the closet in my bathroom was full with every imaginable product. And then I found what works, and that is OneEarthBodyCare.com. I am in love with their shampoo and conditioner bars. Completely changed the game for my daughter, who had a hard time finding a good shampoo and conditioner for her hair. Their face and body is amazing. I love their day and night oil, all natural ingredients, of course, and all of this, essential oils, really great stuff. And of course, the deodorant has changed my life because I am no longer smelly. So go check them out now at OneEarthBodyCare.com.
So yeah, slow and steady is the way. And here's the thing. If you really take your time to do your due diligence and get curious about your weight loss blocks, whether they're physical, emotional, whatever it is, and you actually work through them, guess what? You will successfully release the weight and keep it off and get to your natural set point and be able to attain it easily. Right. Okay. I used to be up and down 20 and 30 pounds every other month when I was fighting with my body and food and the scale and the unworthiness and all that stuff. Right.
No.
So from age 7 to like 25, it was all over the place. And then once I really did the healing, healed my relationship with food and also worked on like getting curious about my blocks and actually not a weight loss journey, but a healing journey.
Right.
It came off without the diets and restriction and crazy exercise, which was like mind blowing.
Right.
And it's been easy to attain. Now I don't weigh in after I go by the way my clothes fit and things like that. There's nothing wrong with checking in with your weight if you want to, but it's a relief when it just, you know, sits this around and you just have, you fluctuate a bit because of retention and
hormones. Well, that's what I was about to ask. Yeah. I think a lot of this is water weight.
Yeah.
So I don't like even know how to get rid of that other than the lymphatic. So
Well, it's the same thing. So whether it's weight or it's water retention, it is the same kind of, why is my body hanging on? Why is my body retaining water? Right. So then we start to look at the things you just shared. I think those are very relevant. And then I think it's things like, the lymphatics. So the more we can have you be diligent with your lymphatic routine and drainage, that's going to help with any of that that is contributing. And then we want to deal with the candida because that will cause us to retain a ton of water because it's a 24-hour stressor, right? It's causing a cort. So this is the way I always describe candida. Think of you have someone sitting beside you just poking at your arm all day. How annoying would that get? This is what the candida is doing in the body is it's stressing out your nervous system. It's stressing out the immune system. It stresses out every system pretty much because it's not supposed to be there in abundance for a long time. And so it will cause us to retain water more easily because your body sees it as a foreign invader. A foreign invader is going to make the body not feel safe, hence the protecting with retention, weight, or both. So we have that factor to look at. We have the factor of the suppressed emotion in the body. So we'll continue to check in on that and see if there's anything that feels like it's hanging around anywhere. And again, using these tools to let it go.
Well, my grief is hanging around, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, over my mom and over my family.
Fair enough. And so then it's to check in and go, is there anything I can do to help myself process the grief? Is it breath? Is it any kind of somatic practice? Is it a journal? Do I need to talk to somebody? I find EFT tapping to work really well for grief.
Try that.
And if you want, what we can do in one of these sessions is we can walk through some together and I can explain to you how to do it. And then we can go through some rounds of it together.
Oh, I would love that.
I'm the visual,
if I just read a book on it or watch a video.
We'll do it together. That way people can do it too and learn how to. Yeah. So I find tapping to be great because it actually helps us release the negative emotion of the body, the mind. And then we get to tap in more of what you want to feel instead. So there's a grief component, right?
Right.
So we know that there's different emotions that are you're feeling or that you're trying to process through. So this is just important for everyone to understand because everyone's going to have a different, unique set of blocks, right? And then we'll look at your hormone tests and all that stuff and see what's going on there, because those can be blocks and fuel retention, weight, whatever you want to call it.
I'm getting those done tomorrow, by the way.
Amazing. Yes.
All the estrogen, estradiol, testosterone, progesterone.
Great.
I think he did all the other ones, but yeah, we'll talk about that.
Perfect. So that's great.
Blood work's done, which is good.
Yeah. And then we want to look at inflammation. So we'll look at like your C-reactive protein marker. We'll look at, we know you've had digestive stuff. When we've had a history of any kind of digestive stuff, there's elevated inflammation in the body. So we'll work on reducing inflammation. That will help with all of the retention and everything else as well. We just, and these are basic things that people can start working on now. Good hydration, 2+ liters of water a day, right? So are you hydrated? Are you drinking enough water?
No, you're not.
How much do you think you drink a day?
Probably 5 cups.
5 cups. So about, you're maybe halfway-ish.
My God. I feel like I just eat all day if I drink that much.
So if we don't drink enough though, and you're dehydrated, you'll retain more water and you'll get more constipated more easily. So if we're dehydrated, one of the most common symptoms is constipation and low energy and then retention. So I suggest 2+ liters of water a day or 68 ounces as a base. If you're really active or you live in a really hot place or you're doing a lot and you're sweating a lot, you probably want to add in a whole another 8 to 12 ounces at least.
Okay.
But if you find you get bored with your water, infuse it. Add mint, add ginger, toss a little bit of berries in there, some citrus, right? If you want to do that, some people just get bored with the water and some electrolytes or something. It just makes it easier to remember to drink.
Yeah, I don't drink anything else. I don't drink coffee. I probably should drink tea. Oh, that's the other thing I want to mention before I forget while you're talking about hydration. Cold broth is really expensive. So I'm trying to figure out something. So if I go to the store, and they have a box of bone broth that says bone broth. Does that count? Or
the powder?
No, it's liquid. Uh-huh. I feel like it's better to make it yourself. So I got to work on them. But my daughter has really, because of being on the autism spectrum, her sensory, she's like a superhero.
She's so sensitive. Yeah.
Right. So I don't want the whole, and it does, I don't know. Maybe I'm doing something wrong, but it does smell. I don't mind the smell, but I bought some turkey bone broth that was on sale in a frozen. Does that count?
Oh, totally.
Does it have to be chicken? Okay, I am going to get back to that. And the other thing is I should be drinking tea because you recommended ginger tea, right?
Ginger, peppermint,
turmeric. Can I use real ginger or is that too strong?
No, my husband, real ginger for sure. Yeah.
My husband cuts up. He makes a tea with it.
Yes, that's perfect. Okay. I always suggest if it's possible to use the actual food form to grate a bit or chop it up. And if that's not possible, you can get the ginger tea or whatever. But it's great for inflammation, great for your gut. Yeah.
The thing I was thinking too is you had mentioned if I can't do the bone broth, then I can do the collagen.
Yes.
Organica, right?
Yeah.
Today of going just because I feel badly. I was like, even though I'm doing better, I felt like, oh shoot, I didn't do what you said.
No, but here's the thing though, right? Like, and this is why we don't just have one session. It's about making small gradual changes and building the foundation. So you could definitely try the collagen. I had a client yesterday be like, I've been on the collagen for a week and all her cracks on her hands are gone.
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah. So it helps with gut, skin, hair, nails, all that kind of stuff. So what I would suggest is you work on improving your hydration and try the collagen whilst you're sorting out what to do with the bone broth. And then get the ginger tea in because these are small yet very effective changes that can have a big impact.
Okay.
Right. So those things are really positive. And then, hydration, let's work on that. And then you're going to probably notice an improvement with energy and bowels and everything more with getting in enough water. Okay. How have your energy levels been the last couple of weeks?
They've actually been pretty good. My regular doctor has said the C-reactive protein, he was concerned. He said, it's high. Were you hydrated enough? But is that's an inflammation marker?
That is the main one. And if that's elevated, you're going to have higher likelihood of more chronic pain until we get it down.
How do you get that down? All the things you're talking about?
Yeah. So we're going to work on getting the C-reactive protein down. And aren't we glad that we got it tested? Because how are you supposed to know if it's high unless we get it tested? Every single person should go and ask to get their C-reactive protein tested.
Right. Well, why did he just assume that it was because I was dehydrated? Do you think he thought, is there a different thought pattern in the mainstream? You know what I mean?
Well, if you're sick, or you're really dehydrated, and when you're sick, often you are dehydrated because it can skew the number a bit. But when we're sick, we'll have elevated C-reactive protein because we produce more of it to help us get over whatever we have. But you weren't sick.
No, I'm not and sick.
Did you drink any water before you, like, honestly?
I did, but I had like maybe two glasses.
That's
maybe
fine. That's
maybe
fine.
Maybe you thought I should have had more. I don't know.
Well, even if you did, it's likely that it's not the dehydration or not drinking enough water that made it high. It's likely like you're having chronic pain and inflammation.
Man,
did you ever have COVID?
Never.
Okay. Because what I've noticed with some people who had COVID is they have elevated C-reactive protein thereafter that sticks around for quite a while. I've just seen that pattern.
Right. It was crazy. My husband and daughter had it in November. They didn't test for 6 days. I was all over them. Both of them, hubbing and da-da.
Yeah, yeah.
With them, I never got it.
Yeah, well, your immune system or whatever, right? So yeah. So with C-reactive protein, the things that make it worse really easily, just so you know, dehydration, constipation, anything where we're not moving toxins out of the body properly, right? Because then you're reabsorbing and any of that fuels inflammation.
Right.
So that stuck lymphatic, because again, all the garbage removal that needs to be eliminated is stuck. So lymphatic drainage, hydration, and daily bowels are going to make a difference right away. Okay. This is also probably why your cholesterol scored a bit high, like you said, look at it. But
it's
if you're constipated,
so if you're 9 last year,
but if you're constipated, that will do that. So, because what happens with bowels, like we produce cholesterol ourselves, but levels get high when we're dehydrated and constipated. And then what happens is we reabsorb all that cholesterol that has binded to the bowels to be eliminated from the body. So that's part of what raises it higher. Now, inflammation, there's all kinds of other things that we're going to work on that are going to help reduce it. But that's part of this picture, right?
Right.
So if your bowels are better, we get you more hydrated, you take your probiotic at night, you do the lymphatic drainage, these things are all going to start to make a difference with the inflammation. If you're dehydrated, you're going to have more inflammation in the body. Just that alone. Because what we have to look at it as is anything that stresses out the body, like lack of sleep, dehydration, eating more inflammatory foods, processed foods. I know you're not doing that, but just generally for people, you're going to have higher inflammation.
Because I do like my red meat. I try to eat, I mostly eat grass-fed, but like I made a pot roast the other day.
Love it.
And it was delicious. Yeah. That's what I'm having for lunch with some carrots and green beans and
potatoes. Amazing. Yeah. That's fine. So where we're starting to see a lot of truth come out is that it's not actually the red meat. It's the seed oils.
Yes.
It's the seed oils. Well, you're on the freaking mark, because it's the seed oils. Right. It's the canola oil, the vegetable oil, the safflower, the sunflower oil, the cottonseed, peanut, soy, corn oil. If you can, please avoid these at all costs. Look at your labels. They're hidden in a lot of things, but they're what are fueling so much inflammation. Refined sugar, seed oils, trans fats, and fast foods. Margarine, stuff like that, right?
It was a long time. I know we have a few minutes, but I had found this stuff. It's this Lebanese garlic sauce. And it's heaven. And I put it on everything.
Yeah.
And then I knew it was sunflower seed oil, but I kept thinking, my diet is so clean. I barely eat anything from a package. I'm having all the veggies and the avocado and stress, but can I just put this on it? Yeah. It makes it taste like heaven. And because I have so many food restrictions, it gives me that extra.
Totally.
But then I realized I probably shouldn't, or maybe just have it once in a while. I was eating it every day for like months.
And then moderation.
I stopped 2 months ago.
Yeah, good call. Because here's the thing. I'm in the same boat. Like, we eat so well. And I'm like, oh, I should. Yeah, because of that, to offset, I should be able to have this thing with sunflower oil or whatever. No.
Right.
My body right away puffs right up. I get warm. The next day I have brain fog. I'm retaining like 2 or 3 pounds of water. Like, my body is like, do not. So I have to be very mindful too, because
the body react as far as I know.
Is good, but that would also contribute to high C-reactive protein is regular consumption of seed oils. Yeah.
You have to make it myself.
Yeah. Could you make a big batch though? And like, could you freeze part of it and then thaw?
Well, we're going to talk about this next time, because I was always taught that avocado oil is great. Now, I know. I don't like olive oil. I don't like the taste of it.
That's fine. Yeah.
But I feel like if I made this but I don't like unrefined avocado oil either. It's way too strong, the green kind. I want the refined kind. I can make this Lebanese garlic spread, which is better. I would think it'd be better than a seed oil.
Oh gosh, 100%. I love avocado oil, Where there's a bit of, I think, a miss is that everyone thinks all avocado oils are good to heat to high heat, but only if it says on the bottle it is, it likely is. But if it doesn't say that it is, then don't use it to high heat because then you're eating inflammation.
I think with this, you don't even heat it. You just, it's just blended.
No, that's totally fine. Use the avocado oil. I love, it's such a good oil for making things.
I miss my Lebanese food. They had chipotle flavor and it was literally just the oil, chipotle, garlic. That's it.
Like, right. Simple.
I thought, how bad could it be?
But yeah, I hear you.
It's so funny. A good friend of mine called it. Every time he calls, he's talking health stuff. And he was like, oh my God, the seed oils. And I'm thinking, I know, but don't take it away. But I know.
I hear you. But yeah, if you can meet yourself, that'd be great. But yeah, so dehydration, poor gut flora, the candida, poor gut health, hormone imbalances. There's so many different things that can fuel this elevated C-reactive protein. And it's good that we're testing it and checking it because long-term left undealt with, say like in 10, 20, 30 years, it can significantly increase your chances of heart disease, heart attack, stroke, cancer. It is key marker for all of these things. It's such a preventative to get it tested and see where it's at and bring it down if it is high.
Okay. Right?
But we'll see exactly where it's at and talk about the numbers and what's like a moderate high, what's like way too high. You need to go see your doctor and maybe see like a specialist kind of high. Because there are like for some people, like they do need to take immediate action because it's a risk, right? But but they don't test for it regularly or until after the person's had the heart attack. And then they're like, oh, your C-reactive protein's through the roof. And it's like, well, it would have been nice to know that 10 years ago,
right? Exactly.
So the C-reactive protein will trigger the pain and the retention. The more high the C-reactive protein, the more water retention or weight you'll hang on to. And it could feel difficult to lose because the body's just so inflamed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a frippin' 6 months of seed oil. I knew better.
It's so okay. Good. Don't be hard on yourself. We find these things we love and we like.
So you difficult.
Think it's fine, right? Because it's a sunflower seed, sunflower oil. You think it's fine.
Like, what's the problem?
Yeah. No, I hear you. We were having all that stuff, and it's like, why am I so puffy? And then it's like, oh my gosh, the seed oils. It's crazy. So start checking your labels for those listening, right? That are maybe just starting to learn about this, but it's a big deal.
We should talk about that next time.
Yeah, we totally can. That's
just get in on the seed oils and just figure it out.
So what I'd love to just recap on is I'd love to have you set an intention, a focus, something you want to focus on between now and your next session. But I definitely suggest the hydration.
Okay.
Getting all the hydration and getting the lymphatic drainage in the morning with the dry brushing.
Right.
And then whatever you want to focus on, and then we'll keep picking away and we'll look at your labs and see what everything is at.
I think just focusing on, I don't know, I have to think about it, but I think it's mostly just staying away. It's still in the fridge, staying away from that seed oil stuff. That's my intention.
Fair enough.
And also doing my OT exercises again.
Love it. Yeah.
But this itis shit is horrible.
I know it's not good, but you will be surprised at how much it's going to improve as we sort all this out. Like my hubby has had a groin injury from hockey that was like 20 years old and it kept flaring up. And then we did the candida protocol and it completely went away. Like that inflammation is.
That would be amazing.
We'll work on it.
All right, Amber, tell us how we can find you. This was great.
Yeah. Thank you again. So you can find me at amberapproved.ca. If you want to come and learn more about what I do, you can take the free emotional eating quiz as well. Book a 30-minute complimentary body freedom consultation if you want to connect and talk about going on a journey together. And you can listen to the No Sugar Coating podcast. It's available on the website and all podcast apps.
Well, that's it for our show today. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. And we would appreciate it if you could please rate and review and leave a comment, because the more you engage with our podcast, the more you will find it and help other people find it wherever they listen to their podcast. So be sure to follow us. I'm at Andrea Donsky and at Naturally Savvy. And Lisa?
At Lisa Davis, MPH.
Thank you so much. And please share this episode, because the more you share shows you care. We'll see you next time.